Hello, and welcome to Prickly, a podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk. Thank you for listening. I'm Wayne Chutsky.
And I'm Cameron Sanchez.
If you've been listening to KJZZ lately, you've probably heard about just how busy Arizona's Attorney General has been. As of July 30th, that's when we're recording this, Democrat Chris Mayes has sued the Trump administration more than two dozen times. That's 25 lawsuits so far. It's entirely possible she will add to that list by the time this podcast airs. I'm only kind of joking, because Mayes is averaging nearly one lawsuit per week since Trump took office again back in January. Cameron sat down with Mayes recently to take stock of this robust legal strategy and how well or not Mayes thinks it's working.
Yeah, so Mayes stressed that she is not the only one who's filing all of these cases. She's actually part of a coalition of about two dozen Democratic attorneys general across the country. Mayes says they're meeting regularly to challenge the Trump administration's attempts to implement his agenda, mostly through executive orders, and their lawsuits range from protecting birthright citizenship all the way to fighting cuts to AmeriCorps. And when we spoke, I asked her if this strategy was premeditated and something that she was thinking about before Trump won election for the second term.
You know, obviously, when Donald Trump won, and even before Donald Trump won, there was the possibility that we were going to have to, put up a fight for our Constitution and for the rule of law. Because remember, they had already put out Project 2025, which is replete with illegality and unconstitutionality. So they basically kind of campaigned on this. Trump won, and then he promptly started breaking the Constitution and breaking the law pretty much every week, which is how we wound up with 24 lawsuits at this point, because that's my job as the Attorney General, is to uphold the rule of law and the American Constitution.
I just want to point out that Mayes did hold a press conference just weeks after the election, promising to fight Trump's agenda, which was then known as the Project 2025 agenda, held a lot of the different things that he ran on during the election.
All that being said, Mayes did say she is surprised by how aggressively this administration is moving to implement Trump's agenda, and she says it's illegal in many of these cases. So she maybe did not anticipate filing this many lawsuits this quickly.
I think the scope of it does surprise me to some degree. I think the blatant nature of the unconstitutional behavior is somewhat surprising to me. I mean, yes, they wrote it all down in Project 2025, but then to see them actually implement it with such ferocity and such speed. That, I think, was somewhat surprising, and I think that was all by design.
These lawsuits are dealing with a broad swath of federal agencies, policies, different funding mechanisms, but there is a through line, right?
Yes, these are pretty much all cases where attorneys general representing their individual states are challenging the president for making unilateral changes without going through Congress. For example, there's a lawsuit to protect funding for Job Corps, where Trump is unilaterally trying to cancel federal funds which were already approved by Congress. And Mayes said that no president, regardless of political party, has that power under the Constitution.
We would do these lawsuits, regardless of who was the president. I think what gets lost in all of this is just how overwhelmingly unconstitutional this behavior is. And one of the reasons I feel so strongly about this is that we cannot have this be the precedent going forward. And I ask people to think about what would this look like if it was a Democratic president violating the Constitution every week. The Republicans and Democrats and independents would also demand accountability.
So Mayes argues this is about the rule of law, the Constitution and separation of powers primarily. But we've also heard a lot from Arizona Republicans who say Mayes's many, many lawsuits are just a nakedly political attempt to undermine the president and the GOP agenda.
I asked Mayes to respond to that criticism, given that Trump already won the popular vote here in Arizona.
We've achieved a preliminary injunction or a temporary restraining order stopping Trump or Elon Musk or Doge in 80% of the cases. Or we've achieved a TRO or a PI, and they've just given up. You know, that's what I mean when I say we've achieved a positive result.
Well, how would you respond to folks saying that Arizona voted for Trump and we should assume that then whatever Trump is doing is what Arizona voters want him to do?
Well, what I would say is, yes, that is true that Trump won Arizona. But, you know, regardless of who wins the state of Arizona in the presidential election, the president still has to behave in lawful and constitutional ways. And the people of Arizona also elected me to uphold the Constitution. I took an oath of office to uphold the American Constitution. And that's what I'm doing. And I would say, I don't think what Trump is doing right now is going over all that well in Arizona and the rest of the country, given his polling numbers right now. So for me, it comes down to the rule of law. And I think Arizonans expect me to uphold the rule of law.
What Mays and these other Democratic attorneys general are doing is hardly surprising. In the current hyper-partisan political climate, it's almost expected.
And she's not the first attorney general we've had in Arizona to take on these types of cases. There's her predecessor, Republican Mark Brnovich, and he filed many cases against the Biden administration.
Yeah, I spoke with Corey Langhofer, a Republican attorney who works in Arizona elections and politics, and he said it wasn't always this way.
So I was at a CLE, or continuing legal education, you know, program that lawyers were forced to attend. someone talked about how this was a great idea that Republican attorney generals would be pursuing. And it struck me as so odd. Like, it was just a new way of thinking about the role of attorneys general. But it has certainly become the expectation now. In fact, I think it's fair to say that the AGs who don't do this are the outliers now.
Langhofer said attorneys general weren't always so hyper-focused on what he called partisan cases.
Yeah, so pre-Brnovich, it was Tom Horn. No, he was a Republican, and he overlapped with Obama. And Tom Horn, I think, was sort of the immediately previous generation of attorneys general, so before this trend came of age. And he was involved in a few lawsuits against the federal government, but really on the issues that were of peculiar interest to him or to Arizona. And then once that shifted then to Brnovich and now Mays, they're kind of pressured by their base to be involved in every case that's of Democratic or Republican interest, right? So even if there's not much of a strong Arizona angle, they're expected to just be there. And in fact, I think it's fair to say that one of the reasons Brnovich was successful in his primary challenge to Horn was because the Republican base wanted a more partisan attorney general. Like, this is just what the primary electorate demands of their nominees now.
That left us thinking about the validity of these lawsuits Mays is filing. So recently, over the last few years, we've seen a lot of political lawsuits filed by politicians, by outside groups, political parties, which were tossed out by judges for essentially being frivolous, especially when they're related to elections. Is that the same thing we're seeing here?
Langhofer says that's not really what he's seeing here. Even though the lawsuits might be more political in nature, he said that doesn't mean the AGs, regardless of party, are bringing outlandish claims to the court.
I think generally the attorneys general on both sides are bringing cases with colorable arguments. There's usually a question about whether these states have standing in those cases, right? So why is Arizona uniquely affected by the federal law that's being challenged? But there is, you know, a merits question about whether this order or that statute is constitutional. Because again, the quality of lawyering inside these offices is pretty high. And so where you do sometimes see judges dismiss these cases for lack of standing.
Cameron, how do you think that analysis would land with Mays based on your conversation?
I think she would push back on the idea that some of the cases she's taking are not in the state's best interest. And many of these cases are still ongoing, but she points out that she's had some success in achieving preliminary injunctions to stop Trump's actions from taking effect in many of the cases.
I think there is a huge return on investment associated with these lawsuits that we're filing. I mean, we are talking about, you know, probably spending a couple million dollars through the salaries of our Solicitor General's office versus bringing back and protecting hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more than $1 billion. Of funding for the state of Arizona, not to mention the human catastrophe that would have resulted from many of the cuts that Donald Trump wanted to illegally make. Now, I think, remember, for instance, that he wanted to cut the what's called the HIDA, the high-impact drug trafficking areas. That's how we fight the Mexican drug cartels. So literally Donald Trump, with this federal funding freeze executive order, which we successfully blocked, wanted to cut and defund the police. That's insane. It's nuts. I doubt he even realized that he was doing it, but they did it. And we stopped that, and we're still fighting the Mexican drug cartels in the state of Arizona.
So Mays is pointing to these very concrete reasons she's bringing the cases forward, preserving state funding and federal resources for things like law enforcement. But Langhofer says there are consequences to this hyper-partisan dynamic, even if he doesn't believe the lawsuits themselves are frivolous.
When it comes to like public confidence in an AG or the AG's office as a whole, which changes hands every several years, do you see any potential impact from this trend over the past several years to how people view the office?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think your question sort of nails it, the suggestion that we have in the country right now a crisis of confidence in institutions. So when you say to people, what do you think of the Supreme Court? People have less confidence in the Supreme Court now than they did before, because it's constantly being like, everyone who loses a case says those guys are partisan hacks, right? That's like the constant refrain. And they don't, I think that's unfair, deeply unfair to the Supreme Court at the US level and at the Arizona level. So it extends to the courts. When courts see a steady stream of partisan briefs from states, you know, predictably based on the partisan affiliation of the AG, they also, I suspect, think like, oh, well, this is the Democratic perspective. They don't think like, this is the perspective of 26 duly elected attorneys generals. They think this is the Republican perspective, or it's the Democratic perspective. And that carries over to media coverage. I think it probably spills over to other areas of practice. So like when someone is charged, a political figure is charged with a crime, there's immediately discussion about whether the person bringing the charges of the opposite party, right? And that this crisis of confidence, I think, is really important. If people don't believe that the government is acting neutrally and fairly, that's a really toxic environment.
In spite of those concerns, Langhofer says this is the new normal.
Mays and I spoke about this new standard, and specifically whether she thinks she's setting a new precedent for how future attorneys general in the state are going to act going forward.
I hope so. I would hope that the next attorney general, if you have a president who is violating the Constitution on a near daily basis, would stand up for the Constitution. And the other thing that I think is really interesting that's developing here is that with the new Supreme Court decision that seems very hostile to nationwide injunctions, it's going to become even more important who your attorney general is. So in other words, if I wasn't the attorney general of Arizona and it was Abe Hamaday who had won this race, we would not, the state of Arizona would not have been protected against any of those cuts, those funding cuts, all of the damage that is being done in Republican states right now on a daily basis would be happening to Arizona as we speak. And it has set up a situation in which, because, you know, Arizona has me as their attorney general, we are protected, but Texas is not. Mississippi is not protected. Florida is not protected. And they are seeing right now some of the most difficult budget cuts, funding cuts, terrible implications as a result of what Donald Trump is doing, which is kind of ironic because they're very red states.
As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, Mays had signed on to 25 lawsuits against the Trump administration when we recorded this episode on July 30th.
And we will continue to cover the outcomes of those lawsuits as they work their way through the courts.
And we will be there when the next lawsuit inevitably drops.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Prickly Podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk. Tune in to 91.5 to hear our coverage or log on to kjzz.org.
And please subscribe to the Prickly Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.